to saddle up for a new year now. Hope you're ready. Hour three, and I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. This is the Steve Gruber Show for Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. Here are three big things you need to know in hour number three. Number three, winter decided to close out the year with a big blast of snow all over the state. In the UP, incredible totals of snow have already piled up in some areas. More than 10 feet now have fallen. Ski resorts are rocking. Number two, Michigan gets another New Year's Day disappointment, the fourth bowl loss in a row for Jim Harbaugh and company. It starts to look like that's all Wolverine fans can expect. Another year of a lot of talk followed by an implosion in the end. And number one, the story everyone seems to be talking about, at least in places that I was traveling in Michigan over the last couple of days, the strange and gruesome murder of Kevin Bacon. Not that Kevin Bacon, but another one in a small Michigan town. The rumors are flying, and the man accused of the killing is behind bars. But the question, the natural question becomes, is it his first murder? It seems awfully interesting. Awfully interesting. It was a grinder date. It was a grinder date. And on Monday of this week, Mark David Latinsky, he's 50, lived just outside of the small town of Morris, Shiawassee County. Formally charged with the murder and mutilation of 25-year-old Swartz Creek resident Kevin Bacon. Latinsky was arraigned in the 66th District Court on one count of open murder, one count of mutilation of a human body. Life in prison, no chance of parole if convicted is the sentence he's looking at. Latinsky did not physically appear in court but was arraigned through video. When asked to confirm his name, he said that was his nephew's name. His name is actually Edgar Thomas Hill, of course. They don't believe this. Judge Ward Clarkson just ignored that comment and kept moving. Latinsky's been given a public defender. Preliminary exam set for January the 8th. That'll be next Wednesday, and a pretrial January 14th. This is going to happen fast. Clarkson ruled that Latinsky will be held with no bond. Bacon was last seen alive on Christmas Eve. Bacon's roommate said he had met a man on a dating app, Grindr, was going to see him. Bacon's body was discovered at Latinsky's home on Saturday. Now, according to an MLive report, police made the connection to Latinsky after Facebook posts were relayed to the Clayton Township Police Department. That according to Kevin Bacon's dad, Carl. Bacon's family members said they became worried after he didn't show up for breakfast on Christmas Day. At 5 o'clock, Carl Bacon said he called the police and later found his son's car at a Swartz Creek Family Dollar parking lot. Bacon, a hairstylist and student at the University of Michigan, Flint, studying psychology at the time of his death. By the way, the footloose actor Kevin Bacon of Hollywood fame sent condolences and apparently sending money to help with the funerals as well. For obvious reasons, I'm thinking about the friends and family of this young person, Kevin Bacon, his life taken from him much too soon. His love was hairdressing. I bet he would have done a great job on this mess on my head. R.I.P. KB, said Kevin Bacon from Hollywood. Of course, the story continues to develop. Here's the backstory on all of this. Is it back in November, late November? Another man apparently fled from Latinsky's home. It's a country road outside of Morris, kind of a country area, a rural area to begin with. And in late November, a man was running down the road wearing only a leather cape, naked, running down the road late November. Latinsky apparently somewhere in pursuit when police got involved. They determined whatever was going on was consensual and Latinsky only wanted his cape back. Then you fast forward a month, and Kevin Bacon found murdered and mutilated inside the Morris home. And you have to wonder. You have to wonder, is this the first time? A lot of very disturbing pictures of Latinsky online. Many of them pretty well naked, frankly. And did some research on this one. It's a strange and creepy story. We're going to stay on top of it. I mean, every place I went, there were people talking about this over New Year's. People were talking about this story a couple people in particular couldn't get enough of this story, trying to figure out what's going on, why this person is, you know, involved at all. You know, when Letinsky was on video, full beard, hands cuffed behind his back, claimed he was Edgar Thomas Hill, which, of course, not true, appointed a public defender, as I said. But apparently, last contact with Kevin Bacon was 6:12 p.m. on Christmas Eve. And there you go. We'll keep an eye on that strange story, I'm telling you. All right, tomorrow here on the program, I'm going to give you a little bit of a programming note here. Tomorrow here on the program, we're going to be talking about the idea of sanctuary counties when it comes to the Second Amendment. It's a concept that is gaining a lot of steam around the country, fueled in large part by what's going on in Virginia, because Virginia gearing up for a whole package of strict gun control laws that could include confiscation. They'll call it buyback, but really it'll be confiscation, because how do you buy back something you never own? And the answer is you don't. And so Virginia, as they gear up for confiscation, you look around the country and hundreds of counties, cities, and small towns are declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries or constitutional counties. Part of an ever-expanding movement over the past few years that has surprised even those who enacted the sanctuary resolutions in the first place. Local officials in these counties generally say that they won't follow new gun laws they believe are unconstitutional and violate their oath of office. The movement gaining increased momentum since 2018 when one of the first sanctuaries was enacted in Effingham County, Illinois, in response to newly elected Governor J.B. Pritzker, who had vowed to push new gun control legislation in that state. Pritzker, one of a dozen Democratic governors who penned a letter in September asking President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to pass sensible gun legislation. They want new red flag laws, bigger and deeper and wider background checks. They want to outlaw so-called assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. They say they will break the violence cycle. Well, we'll see, but I'm going to tell you this. A Facebook page launched just a few days ago here in Michigan has tens of thousands of followers now. A Second Amendment Sanctuary Facebook page here in Michigan has tens of thousands of followers. That happened almost immediately. Pretty impressive, to say the least. Pretty impressive, to say the least. And that's what's going to be a big topic for tomorrow's program, so don't miss that. Once you retire, that regular paycheck from your job is going to stop, but you know what? Won't stop bills. You'll still have to pay your monthly utilities, still need health care, and yes, you're going to have to pay taxes, even in retirement. Fortunately, you have a 401k or an IRA, but how do you convert that money into those accounts into permanent retirement income? Well, Bruce Van Hall and Mike Douglas at Life Plan Advisory Services can help you do that. They'll sit down with you to design a personalized distribution strategy that can generate lifetime income. You won't have to worry about the market being up or down or who's sitting in the White House. Your income will come anyway. You can find out more at MyLifePlanFinancial.com, MyLifePlanFinancial.com, with Bruce Van Hall and Mike Douglas. Give them a call today at 517-323-7526, 517-323-7526. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
As a business owner, you wear many hats: accountant, HR specialist, skilled worker, and even CEO. The last thing you need to worry about is what's going on in the state capitol. Hi, I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber. In Lansing, we work hard to make sure legislation and regulations don't get in the way of running your business. We work to make a big difference on big issues such as filling the talent pipeline, controlling health care costs, and ensuring that Michigan has a fair and competitive tax environment. Your business is at the heart of Michigan's economy. We pledge to help you grow, create new jobs, and be an exceptional entrepreneur. At the Michigan Chamber, we fight for you in Lansing's capital so you can continue to grow your business.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.